When you come to know Jesus Christ, you will have an entirely new understanding of yourself. The swagger will all be gone. There'll be a new humility about you. And when you see that you are a man or a woman who depends utterly, entirely, completely on the mercy of God, guess what? The anger is going to drain away very fast.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, last time we began a message looking at the Apostle Paul from Acts chapter 9. Today we continue to look at that story, and I think it's a very relevant one because it seems as if our culture today, we just have so many people who are angry.
That's right, and today we're looking at a story about a man who was really angry. I mean, Saul of Tarsus, he's breathing out threats. And he believes that he's honoring God. This is what's fascinating to me, Steve, that he believes that he's honoring God in his anger. He would say this is righteous anger, righteous indignation, and he's possessed by it. He really is. But when he encounters the risen Lord Jesus Christ, all of that changes. And the reason it changes is that he becomes aware of himself as a sinner.
Yeah.
That's where the anger begins to drain away. And we're going to look at the way in which a life is transformed when we come to see ourselves as we really are before the holiness of Almighty God. You see, for a long time, Saul of Tarsus thought, you know, I'm the one who's righteous. I'm the one who's got right on my side. And I'm angry with everyone else who's getting it wrong. And then he came to see the risen Lord, and he was in an altogether different position. Well, by God's grace, may he touch the angry places in our lives today, bring us to a place of humility before him, in which we, like Saul who became Paul, are able to minister to others in a very angry and a divided world.
Well, if you can, open your Bible and join us in Acts chapter 9 as we continue this message entitled Paul. Here is Pastor Colin.
Do you know there are three accounts in the New Testament of seeing the glory of the Lord? And all of them have one thing in common. You have it in the Transfiguration. You remember when the disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up the mountain with Jesus, and it says that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then they not only saw the glory of Jesus, they heard the audible voice of God. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And what happened next? When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. On the ground. You have exactly the same thing in the book of Revelation, where the apostle John, who had leant on Jesus' breast at the communion service at the Last Supper, but now he sees the glory of the risen Lord exalted and in heaven. And we're told that he saw one like the Son of Man, and his eyes were like a flaming fire. That his voice, he heard the voice, was like the sound of many waters. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead on the ground. The sheer glory of his presence, the sheer authority of his voice. And here on the Damascus Road, we have precisely the same thing. Here is Saul. He thinks he knows everything about Christianity. He hasn't yet encountered the living, risen Lord. And when he's surrounded by the glorious light of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he hears his voice, he's on the ground. And this man who has exercised such power is absolutely helpless. Now, you may say, this all sounds very remote from me. I have never had a Damascus Road experience. I'm saying to you today, one day you will. I'm gripped by this thought today that every person in this first service will one day stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. You will. What happened to Saul of Tarsus will, my friend, happen to you. One day you will be face to face with Jesus Christ. You will find yourself in his glorious presence. You will hear the voice of the Son of God call out your name. And he'll say to you, now I am Jesus. I am Jesus. In the First World War, there was a military chaplain who became known as Woodbine Willie. That was his nickname. And he got that name, of course, because he gave Woodbine cigarettes to the soldiers in the trenches in the First World War. He was a remarkable chaplain. His real name was Stuart Kennedy, and he had a remarkable ministry to men who were literally on the verge of eternity. One of the means of his ministry was that he wrote poems, and one of them was about a soldier who had a dream in which he saw himself in the presence of the Lord, looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ. John says, when I saw him, his eyes were like flaming fire. The poem's written in a Cockney dialect, so I've translated it and adapted it just a little for your comprehension. The poem is called Well. The other night, I dreamed a dream. And just between me and you, I never dreamed like this before. I half thought it was true. I dreamed that I was dead, you see, at least that I had died, for I was very much alive out there on the other side. And then in this dream, he finds himself looking into the eyes, the face of Jesus Christ, just him and Jesus. And he writes these words: there ain't no books, and there ain't no thrones. It's him you've got to see. It's him, just him, who is the judge of blokes like you and me. And boys, I'd sooner frizzle up in the flames of a burning hell than stand and look into those eyes and hear his voice say, well, well. One day you will see Jesus Christ and hear his voice as truly as Saul of Tarsus did on the road to Damascus. You will. What happened to him will happen to you. The Son of God will call out your name and he will say to you, I am Jesus. Now, you may think, you see, of Christianity as a set of beliefs that you're going to go on debating. A way of life that you're going to go on considering. Is this something I really want to do? And I'm saying to you from the Bible today that what you are dealing with primarily here is a person and not any person, this glorious person, the Son of God, and you cannot avoid him. You see, Paul would say to us when he says, I acted ignorantly, he knew all about Christianity. But this was the point at which he was ignorant. Yeah, I thought I knew about Christianity, but here's what I'd missed. I missed the sovereign Lord who lays claim to every life, including mine. That there is a sovereign Lord in heaven and that his name is Jesus. You are not dealing here with something. You are dealing here with someone. And seeing who he is will change everything.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with a message called Paul. It's part of our series called Chosen Instruments, taking a look at different Bible characters and how they were used by God. Our message today comes from Acts chapter 9. And if you missed the first part of this message, which was in our previous broadcast, or any message in this series, you can come to our website, you can listen online. Just stop by unlockingthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
What are the marks of a genuine conversion? Number one, you come to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And number two that follows from it, you therefore come to a true knowledge of yourself. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, remember that Saul saw himself as a man who had right on his side. He's a man with a mission, and he's convinced that God is going to reward him for what he is doing. He sees himself as a man on his way to heaven, and the reality, of course, is that at this point he is a man on his way to hell. And it's only in realizing that he has set himself against the glorious Son of God that he comes to see his true position. You come to see who Christ is, you'll come to see who you are. Why are you persecuting me? Now, of course, Saul thought that he was persecuting Christians. Jesus says, no, you are persecuting me. Has it ever occurred to you that every offense you commit against another person is an offense committed directly against Jesus Christ? Let me read to you another extract from Woodbine Willie's poem as he pictures himself in the presence of the Lord. I seemed to stand alone beside a kind of solemn sea. Its waves, they got inside my mind and touched my memory. And day by day and year by year, my life came back to me. I saw just what I was and what I'd had the chance to be. And all the good I might have done and hadn't stopped to do, I saw I'd made a hash of it, and God knows that is true. A throng of faces came and went before me on that shore, my wife, my mother, kids and pals, and the face of a London whore. Do you see, as these memories of all the people whose lives he's touched and in some cases ruined, the faces come before his mind, and then he sees the face of Jesus Christ himself, and he says this: it seemed to me as though his face were millions rolled in one. It never changed, yet always changed, like the sea beneath the sun. 'Twere all men's face, yet no man's face, and a face no man can see. And it seemed to say in silent speech, you did 'em all to me. The dirty things you did to them, the filth you thought was fine, you did them all to me because their souls were mine. All eyes were in his eyes, all eyes, my wife's and a million more. And once I thought that those two eyes were the eyes of the London whore. And they were sad. Oh God, how sad. With tears that seemed to shine and quivering bright with the speech of light, they said, her soul was mine. And then at last he said one word. The word he said was, well. And I said in a trembling voice, please, can I go to hell? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You fail others, you fail Christ. You neglect others, you neglect Christ. You wound others, you wound Christ. You grieve others, you grieve Christ. If you abuse others, you abuse Christ. And if you lie to others, you lie to Christ. Saul, you thought you did it to these people. What you do not realize is you did it to me. And suddenly, in the presence of Christ, you see, this man has an entirely different view of himself. There's this man, and he thinks he's on the way to heaven. And he discovers he's on the road to hell. He's sinned not only against the many people whose faces come back to him in the presence of God, he's sinned against the Lord himself. And far from being a righteous man who's going to be richly rewarded by God, he finds himself in the dust on the road to Damascus, knowing that there's only one hope for him, and that is to cast himself upon the mercy of God. And you see, friend, that is what gets to the heart of what happens when a person becomes a Christian. You come to terms with the reality of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, this glorious person who addresses you by name, who knows you completely. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you will have an entirely new understanding of yourself. The swagger will all be gone. There'll be a new humility about you. And when you see that you are a man or a woman who depends utterly, entirely, completely on the mercy of God, guess what? The anger is going to drain away very fast. Because you've got an entirely new view of yourself. And where did it come from? An entirely new grasp of Jesus Christ and who he is. And that leads me to the last thing today. Seeing Jesus Christ as he is will lead you to seeing yourself as you are, and that will lead to something else, which is to submit yourself wholly and without reservation to him. This is what real conversion looks like. This is what happened to the Apostle Paul. This is why what happened to him is an example for what must happen in our lives if we are to be true Christians. A true knowledge of Jesus Christ, a true knowledge of yourself that leads you to submit yourself entirely to Jesus Christ. And let me say this. If you think at this moment that sounds like a terrible burden. Oh, I have to submit myself entirely to Jesus Christ. Let me promise you this. It is not a terrible burden. It is an enormous relief. And I say that because of what we're told in Acts chapter 26, where we have an additional sentence that the Lord spoke to Saul at this moment that is not recorded in Acts and chapter 9. Acts 26 and verse 14. When the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He then went on to say this, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, the goads were very simply sharpened sticks that shepherds would use to prod stubborn animals. And the Lord says to Saul, now here's what you're doing. You are kicking against the goads. And it's hard. Take in that picture, will you, for a moment. Imagine a row of metal spikes like javelins. And they're pointing towards you and they're fixed about 2 feet, let's say, above the ground. And you're looking at these things, and someone comes up beside you, and he's angry. And with all the force he can muster, he kicks one of the spikes. It goes right through his trainer and into his foot. It's agony. But the pain makes his anger more. And so he lashes out again. The spike this time sinks even deeper into his foot. And you wince as he steps back and he kicks again and again and again until his foot is reduced to pulp. Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the spikes. You don't hurt the spikes. All that happens is you injure yourself and you keep doing it. You can't stop it. And the more you do it, the worse it gets. What a picture. Is that a picture of you? Repeating time after time what you know has hurt you before, and as if you're driven by some inner compulsion, you go back to it again and again. It hurts you and you don't know how to stop. Well, there's only one way to stop. And it is to submit yourself entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to that place that Saul of Tarsus came to right here on the Damascus Road. Whatever it costs me to follow him, I can resist him no longer. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's his response. And I'm saying to you that if you will submit yourself entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ, no conditions, you are the sovereign Lord of my life, it will be to you the most enormous relief, because only he can deliver you from the compulsion that will keep you going on, kicking against the spikes to your own pain and to your own destruction. Lord, I have been kicking against the spikes. Lord, I have been acting as if I was the sovereign of my own life, deciding what I will believe and how I will live. I've been acting as if I was my own God, and in the process, I've only been destroying myself. And I see today that my only hope is to submit myself entirely to you. And here's the good news, and with this I end. When Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" the answer is not, "I am Jesus whom you have been persecuting and you're done for." That would have been justice. But Jesus steps into his life in order to bring mercy. Isn't that marvelous? And here's the thing. Metal spikes were hammered into the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ so that you could receive mercy, and kicking against the spikes would not be the end either for Saul or for you.
Well, I hope that you have received that mercy from Jesus, but maybe you never have, but you're ready today to quit kicking against those spikes and to come to Jesus. We can stand on the promise from Jesus that if you come to him, he will not turn you away. Maybe you'd like to talk with one of our staff members about what it means to begin that relationship with Jesus. We'd love to talk with you. You can call our toll-free number. It's 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 1-866-865-6253. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast. We're able to stay on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a 2-hour DVD. It's called Open the Bible Story. And Colin, what is Open the Bible Story?
Oh, I'm really excited about being able to offer this this month. It's a 2-hour journey through the entire Bible story. It'll take you from Genesis to Revelation. We'll show how the whole Bible is one story and how it points from beginning to end to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll go through the Old Testament and meet 5 characters. We'll go through the Gospels and focus on 5 events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament letters, we'll see 5 wonderful gifts that God gives to every Christian believer. So the whole Bible story in just 2 hours. You know, we have different journeys through the Bible story. This is the shortest, and it's the best place to begin in terms of getting an overview of what the Bible's all about. So I hope that everyone who listens to Unlocking the Bible will have this in your home. And then ask this question: who is there in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible? This might be a resource that you could share with them that would introduce them to the Bible, to who God is, who they are, who Jesus is, and what can be theirs in and through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we'd love to send you this 2-hour DVD, Open the Bible Story, as you give a gift of any amount this month. You can find out more, give online at unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 1-866-865-6253. Or again, our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. How does God's work normally get done? Find out next time. on Unlocking the Bible.